Welcome to Financial Frameworks. Financial Frameworks' goal is to increase your financial decision-making skills, building on what you already know and increasing your understanding of how you make those decisions. Today's podcast continues my discussion of what I think are the hardest tasks in value investing. The previous two podcasts focused on the first big hurdle for me, figuring out a margin of safety for an investment, and secondly, sorting through all of the information while reviewing my decision-making process to the point where I can trust my judgment that I'm making a solid decision. This podcast focuses on my third recurring challenge when making an investment, making the commitment to invest or not when I believe that the research seems solid. Commitment for me is an additional and final pass to confirm that biases and personal preferences that are not supported by analysis have been eliminated, and that all of the important data needed has not been overlooked. This step locks into place my primary reasons for the decision to invest and also states the major risks to the prospective investment. The act of commitment, what it is and why it's important to me. Merriam-Webster defines commit as to carry into action deliberately. I think that's a serviceable definition as it contains intent, action, and the underlying motivation. I see those as the key ingredients in making a successful investment decision. We know that any decision contains subjective emotional elements as well as calculations and logics. Decisions involving money most definitely have more hidden emotional underpinnings than most decisions. For example, much of what we learn first about money comes from our families, and they may or may not have had good financial habits. So it's wise to assume and acknowledge that there are a lot of emotional elements in our financial thought processes that need to be accounted for. I use the commitment step to do the final winnowing there. In order to both make the best possible decision and also to learn from the process, because one has to keep learning, a person needs to be as clear as possible about all of the factual and emotional variables and to be consciously aware of the deciding factors when you're at the decision point. Sorting these things out makes commitment possible. Again, committing to a decision for me is a separate process at the conclusion of this analysis and cross-checking. It's one last review of the intuitional portion of my decision, as well as the logical piece. It's a summary of the decision so that when a person needs to be aware of things, he or she can reflect on what was most important when the investment was made. For example, we watch athletes go through a commitment preparation process all the time whenever we're watching a sporting event. In golf, it's the last wiggle of the club, or waggle, they call it, of the club, or a turn of the head just before the swing, as in the case of Jack Nicklaus. With other athletes, there's some sort of click that occurs in the decision-making process that says, I've pulled it all together and now let's do it. In baseball, watch what the batter does to get ready, or a basketball player standing at the free throw line. I use sports to illustrate points because they're useful, and we can see what's happening. It's observable, and we can watch the whole process, beginning, middle, and end, and the result in a short amount of time. It's very instructive. So committing to an investment is not as physical as striking a golf ball or preparing for a softball or baseball pitch, but the mental elements of the process, to me, are very similar. One significant factor in my commitment process is to account for all of the emotions and logic that have gone into past decisions. I review these past decisions to avoid the mistakes that I've made. That seems like a reasonable and a simple thing to do. However, the mental road in examining past decisions to avoid them is not a bright sunny day with no clouds in the sky and a dry road. It's a pretty murky process. All of us experience, to some degree, what Daniel Kahneman calls hindsight bias. Let me quote Dr. Kahneman's observations in Thinking Fast and Slow regarding hindsight bias that apply to understanding past decisions. Quote, a general limitation of the human mind is the imperfect ability to reconstruct past states of knowledge or beliefs that have changed. Once you adopt a new view of the world, or any part of it, you immediately lose much of your ability to recall what you used to believe before your mind changed. I know that's true. I didn't understand it clearly until I read Dr. Kahneman's research, but I can think of examples where my memory simply did not account for things that occurred at the time. And then I went back and looked at notes and said, oh yeah. So let's translate that well-phrased assessment of our abilities to recall past analysis into practical investing language. Let's combine that reality with another Dr. Kahneman observation that has to do with our underlying loss aversion bias. In practical terms, these combination of biases mean that most of us don't own up to past investing mistakes that have been made, and most of us think our past performance was better than what actually happened. Because of this outcome bias, many people don't learn how to do things better. And by the way, according to Dr. Kahneman, this behavior, these biases, apply to professional investors as well as to you and me. So let's answer the question. How does a person get around these biases to both make better decisions and to learn from what has actually happened in the past as they take a step to commit to the solid decision? The solution to this problem for me is not complicated. However, it does require discipline to carry it out. The solution is to document, take notes, the major variables that factored into making the commitment. The summary doesn't have to be lengthy or detailed, but it does need to be clear enough to create a summary of the decision variables so that it can be looked at in a month or 6 months or 5 years from now and provide an accurate picture of why the choice was made, what the commitment was. Again, the summary doesn't have to be lengthy, but it does need to include the major points of the decision, the deciding positives, and the risks considered. There are two important benefits to this process. First, by slowing down the decision to include the commitment step, a person is building in another layer of logical discipline to counteract the intuitive desire to do things quickly. The second benefit is that it is building a set of habits that should increase and reinforce a person's focus and reinforce the discipline required to stick to the logic portion of the decision. On a practical note, this recording process should not be so detailed and demanding that it doesn't get done. It could be a series of notes, it could be a spreadsheet with the financial review highlighted, or it could be simple as a two-column list of pluses and minuses. Whatever format will be clear enough to bring the decision-making process accurately back to your mind sometime in the future. Here's the learn by doing portion of Financial Frameworks podcasts, because I really strongly believe that we learn best by doing things, not simply by listening and absorbing. So let's tackle a problem and build in a commitment step. I'll use GE as our investment example because I've used it multiple times. It's got a lot of interesting qualities to it. And it's a diverse enough company so that it should be interesting to most of us. So let's say you've checked GE for margin of safety and the current earnings meet your criteria, but you're on the fence regarding future earnings. Let's also say that you have concerns regarding the future earnings due to a possible recession. Secondly, the future of GE's renewable energy company that is set to spin off on April 2nd, and you're not clear how that's going to affect their balance sheet. So let's assume that you've done a lot of analysis and you've prepared a one-page list of pluses and minuses, the two columns I referred to earlier. They could be labeled reasons for and then risks and concerns. And this will solidify your commitment to invest or not. So if you've actually been looking at GE, review your analysis, your notes, and your personal preferences and list them. If you haven't been looking at that stock, you could still make two lists for a different prospective investment, even if you haven't done the significant research at this point. So create the plus and minus list by taking a little time, not a lot of time, to assemble the most important basic data that has caused you to be interested in this company. Even if you only have the highlights, create the two column lists. And after creating the list, say to yourself, based on this information, my inclination is to invest or not invest, and underline your logic. Then, and this is just as important as the choice, after having made the choice, ask yourself, what do I believe were the deciding factors, and why did I select those factors and not other reasons? Put that down on the sheet of paper as well. I know that this is an abbreviated simulation of the commitment process, but the experience is valuable nonetheless. The point of the exercise is to experience a form of the commitment step with whatever data you have at hand. I understand from some of my athlete friends that one of the things that they do is that they visualize success before entering a competition. This is a form of that. It's very specific, it's very focused, and you want to pay attention to what your logic was and what your feelings were. You want to examine how you are combining the intuitive information and the logical analysis in a final review of both sets of data, and simulations, even in an abbreviated form, are very effective learning techniques. You need to understand yourself. That takes care of it for step three. I appreciate your time and your consideration and listening to my podcast, and I hope that this will be useful to you in your investing practice. If so, mention it to an associate or a colleague, because I know that you have choices regarding how you spend your time, and I appreciate your choice of financial frameworks. The next podcast will cover my fourth hardest task in value investing, passing on something that is close to meeting my criteria, but doesn't quite measure up. The podcast will lean on advice from Mr. Buffett and the late Mr. Munger, as both of them have been fond of advising students and listeners that they should look at their investing lives as having a limited number of choices, say 20, because that way they would attach the importance to their selection that every investment choice should have. It also means that they say no much more often than they say yes. This advice is very sensible, but in practical terms, how do you do it? That's what we'll talk about. Again, thank you for choosing Financial Frameworks. We'll see you next time. Mike Lehan.